Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
He is without question the best weekly guest on WCCO Radio, and I say that as someone who has my own three-hour radio show and has my own weekly guests, but it is as must-listen. I am thrilled to be able to talk to Major Garrett. Major, sorry you have to talk to me. Second fault.
Adam, it's all good. It's all good, and I thank you for that compliment.
And,
very nice.
Yeah, and thank you for shifting your schedule for us today. Before we get to lots to talk about, I just did an interview with a guy who just did a podcast on the 50th anniversary, which is Monday, of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And that is a topic that I obsess over ever since I was a little kid. I've read multiple books on it, and I know probably way too much about it that I could bore people with my knowledge about subject.
So just stop right there.
Okay.
Do you love the song?
Of course. That's why I was fortunate enough to meet Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh my gosh, that's epic. That's epic.
I'm a Gordo head, man, and
I'm a huge Gordon Lightfoot fan.
Yep.
And I don't care to anyone might criticize me for that.
No.
I love Gordon Lightfoot, magnificent songwriter. That's a great song, brilliantly written, inspired by the Newsweek story he read, if I understand the history of it correctly.
Incredibly accurate too, by the way.
The Railroad Trilogy is his masterpiece.
Yes.
If you want my opinion.
You are correct, sir. I love it. This guy knows what I'm talking about. My love of Gordon Lightfoot.
Did you just become best friends?
I'm throwing away everything about it that we need to talk about. We're just going to break down Gordon Lightfoot songs for the next half hour. But do you have a subject in your life, whether it's historical, you are a man of obviously great knowledge, that you obsess about, that you know way too much about, and could bend somebody's ear for hours on end on a subject?
So I am inordinately fascinated by the pre-Civil War period of history in our country, the Civil War itself, and Reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that 50-year period of time where our country kept trying to find a compromise on this uncompromisable issue of enslavement and could not. But lots of people with tremendous political skills and lots of other areas tried and tried and could not. Then there was this devastating war for 4 years. And then this period of time to either reconcile or find some means by which to deliver civil rights to those it had been denied to post-Civil War. That period of time in history, and trust me, when I say this, there are lots of people who know this period of time much, much better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Civil War buffs have read 50, 60, 70 books on that. I'm nowhere near that. But that's the period of time that most fascinates me, because that was a period of time when we were struggling with something that was part of our flawed beginnings, and we were trying to redress.
Mm-hmm.
We could not redress it peacefully. We went to war over it. Then we tried to redress it after that, and we couldn't get that right. It's a place of great complication, great aspiration, and great bloodshed, among the most dramatic periods of time in our history.
What does it take for one to become a buff?
In the Civil War space, you need about 50 or 60, maybe 70 books under your belt, at least.
Is that really? So at least 50 bucks to be a buff.
I never make the mistake of calling myself a Civil War buff.
Okay.
You do that, then suddenly they're giving you this granularity about this battle or that place or that general and that aide-de-camp and all this other stuff. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Then they laugh you out of the room.
Then they laugh you out of the room and say, please go down the hall. You know, you don't belong here.
The legacy of Nancy Pelosi. She announces she will not seek another term. You could argue she might be the most powerful woman in American history.
Absolutely. There's really no argument about that. No other woman ascended to the speakership. She ascended not once, but twice. And when she was speaker, the legislative production of the House that she led and the majority party she led, the Democrats, was very high. Whether you agree or disagree with what that legislation wrought, the fact that it was passed was her job as speaker. And if you're going to ask yourself, would this country have Obamacare without Nancy Pelosi? The answer is no.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't have. And big parts of the Obama administration dealing with the Great Recession and things that the Obama administration prioritized then flowed through the House, given energy and put forward by Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi became, because of that, a lightning rod for Republican criticism. There were buses all over the country, get rid of, fire Nancy Pelosi. Republicans take back control of the House. And then Nancy Pelosi returns a second time and galvanizes much of the Biden administration agenda and pushes it forward. So in two periods of time, she was not only necessary, but essential to propelling legislation forward. I know there are those in the Trump world who say, well, she's to blame for January 6, 2021. No, she's not.
Nope.
Donald Trump is to blame for what happened on January 6, 2021. Election denialism, lies about that, led to a riot on the Capitol that tried to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power. Nancy Pelosi did not set any of that in motion. What the security posture of the Capitol was or wasn't, the one thing we know for sure, it never had to defend itself against fellow Americans certifying a presidential election. To call that unprecedented is absolutely true. So being unprepared for that is not exactly something to be embarrassed by or about. Ideologically, very aggressively progressive partisan and effective in moving that progressive partisanship, not just from speeches, but into actual legislative reality. Lots of people in politics give effective speeches. Nancy Pelosi actually isn't one of them. She's not a great speech deliverer, but she knows her caucus. She knows the people who work for her. She knows the leadership ladder. She knows your opposition, and she knows how to maneuver in the House. And within the history of the House of Representatives, male or female, she ranks in the top five of the most effective.
Let's take a break before we get too far behind, because I want to get to the election results. We'll pick it up with Major Garrett. On that note, after this break, Major Garrett, you hear him? His podcast, The Takeout, and we'll continue after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hear Major Garrett every night on this radio station, 10 to 11. The Takeout. We continue our conversation as we dissect Tuesday's results. Democrats sweep the off-year map. What does this, if any, portend for 2026 and how Republicans might respond to what happened on Tuesday?
Well, it puts an end to a narrative that lasted for a full year that Democrats were permanently in a wilderness, that the 2024 election heralded a dramatic realignment of demographic support for Republicans and President Trump. 2024 was, as I've frequently said, the third consecutive presidential black swan election. What do I mean by that? What are black swans? Things you've never seen before, things that are extremely rare. 2016 was a black swan election. We'd never had someone like Trump nominated by a major party. We'd never had a woman nominated by a major party. 2020, in the middle of a pandemic, a complete black swan election. 2024, a president who had been in office, came back before. We'd seen that with Grover Cleveland, but we hadn't seen one indicted and successfully prosecuted on a case that drew all sorts of international attention. Oh, and other, by the way, other indictments, the sitting president withdraw, the vice president thrust into, three consecutive black swan elections. So that has dislodged all of our sense of what is or isn't, what's realigning, what isn't. Tuesday was an election in which there could be at least a partial referendum on Trump 2.0, and it was unfavorable to Republicans. Not only did they lose, but the magnitude of those losses were beyond what they imagined, beyond even what Democrats imagined. The New York City mayor's race is, as every New York City mayor's race is, kind of an anomaly. It's a very New York thing, five boroughs. It has very little national implications. If you want to ask yourself, how important is the mayor of New York City to national politics? Just ask yourself, what happened to frontrunner Rudy Giuliani in the Republican nomination in 2007? He didn't make it to Florida, okay? New York City is New York City, a great and important place, but it doesn't drive outcomes nationally. But what happened in Virginia and New Jersey and California is about what happened in 2024. All those Democrats who either didn't go to the polls at all or switched over to Trump, got off the couches, voted for Democrats, or if they'd been with Trump in 2024, switched back to a Democratic nominee, creating these margins of victory. 28 points in California on Proposition 50 for redistricting, 15 points in Virginia, 14 points in New Jersey. much larger than people imagine. And like I said, a mini referendum on levels of satisfaction writ large with Trump on economy, immigration, the presidency itself, the rule of law, and things of that nature. Republicans were downplaying, practically mocking the No Kings protests of a month ago. Well, those ideas, those speeches, that mobilization flowed through those results. I don't think they're mocking them as much anymore.
How do Republicans interpret these results now, and how might they change before next November?
So there's this great frustration that Republicans experience. When Trump's on the ballot, their prospects improve dramatically. They just do. Trump has a unique and powerful gravitational pull on American political life, and particularly the Republican base, and those inclined under the right circumstances to vote Republican, even though they don't traditionally or haven't traditionally done that. When he's not there, it's not a collapse, but is a definite trough effect for turnout, engagement, excitement, and mobilization. Republican National Committee has more money by far, by orders of tens of millions of dollars more than the Democratic National Committee. They had all the money and the people they needed to knock on doors, make phone calls, do all the traditional stuff in Virginia and New Jersey, and they did. And they got smoked. Because when Trump's not there, they are disadvantaged. And so the midterms loom with that very real reality. Trump can help you. He can go to a rally or two. He can raise money for you. But you've got to pull your own race across the finish line. Meanwhile, you know your Democratic opponent, if it's a tight race, is going to be trying to morph you into Trump with every ad, radio, television, or digital. So you have to deal with the Trump effect on the downside, because you're going to be compared with Trump if he's unpopular and the agenda and the results are unpopular, but you don't get the benefit of his ferocity, his gravitational pull. It's a hard place for Republicans, and they know it.
I think it was a month or so ago I heard you on with Chad, and you were talking. You gave a great history lesson on gerrymandering, and you in discussing it in these modern times where we have states now gerrymandering and changing districts. What happened in California, the vote on Prop 50, I'm troubled by that, because I feel this is a continuation of politics as any means necessary.
Yep.
Do you feel the same way?
Without question. And Californians in 2010 voted with 61% to create the commission and to empower it to, on a bipartisan basis, draw district lines, take it out of the state legislature. My co-author of my book, The Big Truth, David Becker, is a consultant on that process. And when the lines that are now going to be drawn and redrawn in California were first drawn, nobody, not Republicans, not Democrats, not voting rights advocates on any side of the ideological spectrum, right or left, criticized those lines. They were as good as you could draw them. And now they're going to be redrawn on a nakedly partisan basis. So a reform in California that set in motion lots of similar reforms in other states is over. Trust me, this is not going to be reversed, because as long as the Trump era and this Republican attitude about getting as many seats as you can exists, Democrats will answer in kind, and they will never go back. They will never, for the foreseeable future, go back to this bipartisan way of drawing lines fairly and not having partisans tweak those lines for maximum party benefit. It was a brief window of reformist, bipartisan, non-politicized congressional district lines drawing. It's over, because, and I know in the proposition it says this is only one-time thing, it's going to go back to the way it was. No, it's not. because the parties are simply not going to disarm themselves unilaterally. And until both sides agree to get off these ramparts and stop this warfare over congressional district lines, they're both going to stay in those trenches and both going to stay at this level of hardcore brass-knuckle politics.
And how many more states now are we going to see attempt to do the same thing ahead of next
fall? There's a move in Virginia to do it for Democrats, and they gained a bunch of seats in the House delegates in this election on Tuesday. That was the other thing that happened in Virginia. Maryland is considering it, although they're sounding much more equivocal about that. You could see it, even though the lines are pretty harshly drawn in Illinois, an effort to extract maybe one more seat in Illinois. Indiana is considering it on the Republican side. North Carolina, which already had pretty aggressively partisan GOP lines there, may try to get one more district out of that. So, and then New York might. So it's basically going state by state by state. Everyone's saying, well, could we, should we? Could we? The answer is always yes. Should we? Historically, it's been no, we should not do that. Now that reluctance is basically evaporated, and partisan answer back or clapbacks are basically spreading everywhere.
What do we make of Marjorie Taylor Greene on The View and appearing on all these typically not safe spaces for Republicans? Mm-hmm. I'd like to get your take on that.
So I can only go by what she has said. I'm eager to have her on for a very extended conversation on The Takeout, and we're trying to work that out.
Excellent.
I don't want her on my show for 5 minutes. I want her on my show for 45 minutes or an hour so people can watch that on YouTube and listen to it and really walk through all of this. Because in a six-minute interview, you never get to the things you won't want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But she has been saying for the better part of a year that she feels an estrangement from the Trump White House, an estrangement from House Republican leadership. Some of that is gender-based. She just doesn't think that women are taken seriously, given the credence that they deserve. She thinks there are some wayward tendencies of the MAGA movement on Epstein, on bread-and-butter economic issues, and she's strayed away a bit from that. And she's more and more willing to take that message elsewhere. I'm not sure what her statewide ambitions in Georgia are. She has, up until very recently, been regarded as a MAGA Republican and a safe MAGA House district with very few prospects beyond that district and beyond the turf she currently occupies. She is clearly trying to create different, more expansive turf for her. Some on Capitol Hill wonder if she is not positioning herself to challenge Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House by telling Democrats, hey, if we take Johnson out and I give you a guaranteed vote on Epstein and Obamacare subsidies, would you come my way? Mm-hmm. I think that is a very, very, very long shot. But her appearances and the willingness that she has to go lots of different non-traditional places has told some people she may have a bigger scheme in mind.
Lastly, I have to bring this up because my wife is making me bring it up because she, like you, has a fervent hatred of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I will say this. I didn't really have a horse in, mm-hmm. in the race. I was watching for the enjoyment, pure enjoyment of baseball, and I was thoroughly enjoyed the World Series. I even said, and with my recency bias, I'm sure playing a role, that I thought it was the greatest World Series ever, which, by the way, is blasphemous in this part of the country where it's 1991 or nothing else.
Right. 1991 is an epic World Series.
Yeah.
An epic, epic, epic World Series. It's in the top five.
Yeah.
Part of the way we judge these things is core emotional involvement.
Yep.
Visibility. How many people are watching? This was among the most watched World Series in recent World Series history. You had stars on both sides. You had tremendous, dramatic, unbelievably high-intensity plays with some of the most beautiful geometry of baseball.
Incredible.
Things happening that you can only see on a baseball diamond, including a ball getting stuck, a wedgie ball, you know, underneath the padding in left center field for a ground rule double that might have been decisive in the entire World Series itself. Yamamoto pitching, Clayton Kershaw pitching, Max Scherzer pitching. All of it had more drama than I can remember any recent World Series, and I loved every moment of it until the final out.
Yes, I enjoyed this tremendously, immensely, sir. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll get to speak again. But I look forward to your conversations every week with Chad, sir.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it,
Major Garrett. It's 2:31. Traffic and weather coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
We've got a crisis for young men across the country. I'm sure you've heard that. The young men are lost in the wilderness. They don't know their purpose. They feel emasculated at every turn. They feel that they're at fault for all the ills of society. It is a crisis. This doesn't help when we've got headlines now that say, is having a boyfriend embarrassing now? This is from a British essay in Vogue, which I know you subscribe to all the time.
Got two subscriptions just in case I miss one.
I can't go on with a day on the radio without reading Vogue. Especially the essays.
The British Vogue is just so much better.
So much better. Right. It's just the language is so much better. A new essay is titled, Is Having a Boyfriend Embarrassing Now? It's kicked off a debate about whether publicly displaying a boyfriend has become cringe. The internet is split on this. The author, Shante Joseph, argues that in today's culture, being partnered no longer affirms your womanhood or counts as some sort of achievement, and many women are decentering men in their online identities. This shift, plus a fear of public breakups and follower backlash, leads some to hide or crop out their partners.
It's got to make the partner feel good.
Every no kid, could you imagine if your wife or your husband or your significant other cropped you out of every photo?
I'm not embarrassed by you specifically.
It's the concept.
I'm embarrassed by the concept.
Yes.
Oh, well, that makes it better.
This is ridiculous.
Yes.
Privacy is a new status symbol. Are relationships healthier when they're not used as content? There's a good question. So, if every picture that I post is my, of, let's say I'm a single guy and I have a girlfriend, a post I have is the girlfriend and I doing something. Is that a sign of a healthy relationship, or do you think that's a sign of a weak relationship? I would argue that that is the sign of a weak relationship.
You could make that argument. Absolutely, you could.
Because, like, this is my life. Everything I'm doing is with her.
Hey, look at me, look at me. I've got a girlfriend.
Right. I think the lives that we perpetuate on social media are lives that we try to convey that this is my life when it usually is not the case.
So let me push it forward. If you're a parent, say you've got young kids or even growing older kids, if most of the posts you make on social media are of your kids, of you and your kids having fun at the water park,
yeah,
having fun at the museum.
Are you in reality a terrible parent?
Yes. Are you a horrible parent? No. Does it say something about just, you know, your self-confidence or, you know, where you're at in life, you know, your mental health, for instance?
Yeah.
Of, you know, I need this. This is my status symbol of look at my kids, look at my kids. Is that where we're at in society, where we take these things in our life, which used to be a little bit more private? Obviously, your kids aren't private. Your relationship isn't completely mm-hmm. private, but we're blasting it out as a way to say, hey, look at me. Pay attention to me. I've got these things in my life.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Maybe there's some of that. Right, because like that's probably I'm guilty of that. Like, here's my daughter playing a sport, or here's my daughter doing this and college day. That's pretty much by far and away the number one thing that I'm posting on social media are the achievements of my children.
No, you're looking for scholarship money at this point.
Yes.
Need an outside hitter? Call me.
Setter. She's a setter.
Sorry.
But, yeah, am I trying to convey that I'm – probably? I'll admit it, that there's some of it is like I want people to know that I'm a good dad. And I think I am a good dad, and I don't think I'm like – by posting on social media, it means that – but am I trying to make myself look like a better dad than I really am? I don't know if that's the case. But if I want people, the reason I post the achievements of my children or things that I'm doing with my children is for people to look at that and say, because I want people to associate, if they can associate one thing with me, it's that I'm an engaged father, an engaged parent.
Except for birthdays.
Except for birthdays, I'm out of town. Including this year, by the way, Morgan, she's turning 19. I'll be in Europe. Sorry, Morgan, well, I'll be done. Out of town again. Yeah, that's
not,
both of them,
not
by
just
the way.
Out of the state, right. Out of the country, across right. The ocean. Well done.
So, yeah.
Well, taking it back to the boyfriend thing, you say you're a single guy, yep. You've got a girlfriend, whatever it is. Do you see yourself posting pictures of you and the gal, or is that something you'd shy away from? Because I mean,
I would probably shy away from that. I just like that's not like that isn't like an achievement of me. That doesn't mean I'm embarrassed by my significant other, but more so that's just not my identity. Like being a dad, I guess that is my identity that I want to portray online. Or if I'm fishing, catching a big fish, I'm the only guy who posts a picture of myself with a big fish on the, nobody else does that, by the way. But I'm projecting the image that I want people to think that I am of an outdoors guy. So I'm, purporting that, and I'm forwarding that image to people.
The boyfriend question is interesting. I mean, I think it's interesting and ridiculous that it would be cringe or looked down upon that. You know, you're a woman in today's society and you have a boyfriend. That should be embarrassing. I think it worked out okay for Taylor Swift. Seems like it's working out
yes.
Okay for a million different influencers. Olivia Dunn,
yep.
Number one, has the boyfriend and the big time pitcher. And she's obviously very famous in her own right.
Right.
I think they're doing okay. I don't think anybody sees that as cringe, do they?
Or weakness. I mean, I understand the belief that, the man doesn't make the woman and the pushback at that saying, I want to be my own independent woman, have my own successes, live my life as I want to without being attached to a man to have to do those things for me. I don't think simply by saying, hey, here's my boyfriend or here's my husband, here are photos of us doing things, that I automatically look at that and saying, oh, yeah, see, that's, you are just, you're subservient to him in your life, and that, you, that he completely makes your life.
You don't get the impression that, oh, you are actually lovable. Well, good for you.
Right.
Good for you. Someone can put up with you.
Exactly.
Whether it's both the boyfriend or the girlfriend. Yeah, I think it seems like we're far enough along where, yeah, we all understand that, you know, women in this case don't need a man to justify their success in life.
Right.
That it's quite okay to say, you know what? I'm proud of my education. I'm proud of my job I have. I'm proud of whatever it is. I'm also proud of this relationship that I have poured a lot into, that I continue to pour a lot into.
Yeah. It's also like with the default is switched. I think about this, and I'll bring up my daughter in a second to explain this, but that the default is that you're a young woman. You should be living your life. Yes, if you want to get married or settle down, yes, absolutely, that's still part of the equation, but make sure you're living your life first on your terms. And I think there's a, we kind of recoil if somebody is saying, oh, no, I'm attached at a young age, I'm going to settle down with a family, much in the same way as, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, we would look at a woman who's saying, "Whoa, she's single. She's being independent. Ooh, what am I? What's something wrong with her? Why isn't she? Why hasn't she settled down?
Wants to move up the corporate ladder.
Right?
Come on, I mean, settle down.
Why?
Honey.
Why isn't she attached? And I think that has been flipped. Whereas our default setting is like, "Ooh, she's already." And I give this example. I don't want to embarrass my daughter, but my daughter, who is in college, she has a pretty serious boyfriend. She's had they've been together since, I think, their junior year of high school. And I have zero problem with the young man. He's a great guy. If he enlisted in the Marines, has been going through Marine Corps basic training, and they haven't seen each other for a while. She went to college. He went to the Marines. And I'm wondering, in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, well, if it doesn't work out, it's young love. She'll probably go their own way. But like that's my default in believing that. And I know some of that is just being a dad, like thinking that no man will ever be good enough for your baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
But like, why do I think that way? Why don't I say, you know what? He's a great guy. I hope I hope this lasts forever. I hope they found their true love and that lasts forever.
I'm sure part of you still always wants her to be your baby girl.
I suppose.
We're going to have some tears now at this point. We're going to get some emotions rolling.
Right, but that's like the default of parents is like, well, you make sure you live your life first. Like, why don't I?
Is that something you've said to your daughters? You know, as she,
I've told her absolutely. I said, you are a very smart kid, and well, you can do whatever you want to do. But if that whatever you want to do, it means, you know what, I'm in love with this guy. I'd like to get married to him and see where it goes. That's if that's what she wants to do, that's what she wants to do. And I shouldn't be disappointed in that, or I shouldn't be any less hopeful about that than whether or not she would follow her own career path and stay independent and do her own thing. Mm-hmm. As long as she's happy and safe and in a productive relationship. Certainly, if this guy wasn't a great guy, I'd feel a lot differently. But we shouldn't feel like, oh, you can't be, leading back to the thing, like it's not an, it shouldn't be an embarrassment or to have a boyfriend and show him off, or have a girlfriend and show her off, or a husband or wife and show them off, somehow that makes you weaker somehow.
Well, I think it's good to know now that young women can be judged both ways now. If they have a boyfriend, that's now considered perhaps weakness or cringeworthy on social media.
Yeah.
And if you're 35, perhaps unmarried, no kids, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah.
The clock's ticking,
yes.
Honey. Clock's ticking. Better push out those babies.
There are also us men who don't need a woman in our life to make us complete. That's from a DP in St. Paul. I totally get that. But at the same time, if you have a woman that makes you complete, or a man that makes you, that is part of your life that makes you complete, we shouldn't judge that either. Interesting thoughts. We're getting some more texts, and we'll react to those. 248 Adam and for Chad on WCCO. Saving the best for last. Hell yeah. Careless Whisper. The greatest saxophone song.
Is it that much better than Baker Street?
I think Baker Street is a better song. But as far as the romanticism, the sexual nature, the saxophone, this is it.
Don't play this next to your boyfriend, ladies.
Also,
embarrassing.
There used to be a bit where a guy would just show up at like food courts and malls,
yes,
and just play this riff on a saxophone, and people eating it, you know, outside the Panda Express would turn around, and this guy'd be standing on a table. wearing just very short shorts and shirtless. Would be playing the riff to this. Well done. That's what's good about social media. Not being embarrassed by your significant other, which is what we were talking about in the last segment. I was trying to get some reaction on that. Somebody says, my last post was of a squirrel at a bird feeder. What does that say about me? I agree with your statement about posting your children on social media and saying how wonderful your life is. And the reason why I agree with that is because I have a wonderful, lovely daughter, but she's going through a difficult time and she continuously posts about how wonderful life is and I see through it. Perhaps others do as well. I did talk to her about it. Please stop posting events that yet with your children because in my opinion, it's unsafe as well. I get that and I've always debated that, thought about, okay, well, like how much do you want to expose your kids on social media? I mean, that's a different topic, but if they're cool with it, I'm cool with it. And by the way, those kids are posting a lot of themselves on social media in their own circles.
Have your daughters ever said anything?
Like embarrassed by a photo?
Yeah. Or just
yes. Like just on a smile. Like I, when the girls were in the state dance tournament last year, I took some snapshots of them out there dancing and Sig was like, why did you post that one? I look terrible. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Deal with it. Another text. You gave me a lot to think about. I'm definitely judging my wife for having a husband. The reason you don't do it is because what if you break up? That's a good point. I mean, those pictures are there forever. And if you're constantly posting with somebody you think you're completely in love with, turns out that's not the case. And you have somebody new and they're looking at your old feed. And it's constant photos of you and the old gal. Do you clean that up?
I guess that's the nature of dating in the social media era, right?
I was going to say, thankfully, I've never really had to. Oh, I mean, yes, I have an ex-wife, and I'm sure if you scrolled far enough down my Facebook feed, you'd find pictures of myself and my first wife. I mean,
we're supposed to carry those scars as part of our life, right?
Not, but yeah, I'm not.
Those can't be part of your social media now.
That happened in my life. I'm not trying to erase that from not having happened.
Does Jen know?
She does know. I've heard of women not posting that they have a boyfriend to get more fame, money, followers from men who want her or want them. I guess that's the. But again, if you're the boyfriend, then it's like, hey. We had a nice dinner. We took a nice photo here. You know, are you going to post that online? And if they tell you no, I mean, I'd be a little suspicious about that.
Yeah, if they show you how much money's coming in, you might be more okay with it. Yeah. Look, if I keep you out of my social life, we make this amount.
Yeah.
Once you enter, we go down to this amount.
Yeah.
Choose the pill you want there, boyfriend.
Again, I'm going to ask my question because I'm eating an apple here. Do you just automatically look like a condescending a-hole when you eat an apple? I don't know why. But every time I eat an apple, and if I'm talking to somebody while eating an apple, you automatically seem like a condescending person. I don't know what it is about that.
I'm not.
You seem like
I think like you're more.
Okay, you're talking to me, and I'm like, okay, and I take a bite of the apple. Oh, it's all
good,
right,
good crunch there.
I think you look condescending.
I think you're more likely to be a college professor if you're eating a whole apple during a conversation.
Maybe because
I view it. I just in my mind's eye, it's a college professor, you know, maybe discussion with a student after class, something okay. like that, with, you know, other faculty. Yep. Everyone's got an apple just crunching together.
Yes. And it was the guy who is, he's the Canadian Trump, who was almost prime minister, Pierre Poilievre, or whatever his name is. Yes, this is why, because there was a case of him standing doing a press scrum, and he was eating an apple, and he was being very condescending to the reporters asking him questions. So now I associate eating an apple with condescension.
You ruined a big apple for all of us.
Why that came up, I have no idea. Your Lindis construction time check, by the way, is 257. Time to upgrade your windows with Infinity by Marvin Windows. Installation labor, 50% off right now through November 30th. I'll be back in my normal time slot tomorrow, 9 to noon. Henry Lake is in for Jason DeRussia. He is coming up next. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.